Sunday, Yud Beis Elul, Rabbi Golke, in the case of the poison sandwich.
Okay, good morning, Rabbi Isai.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me to ask me to share some Divrei Torah. I came across this case some months ago, and it's a fascinating topic. It has very broad implications in halacha. And I'd like to share it and discuss it with you today. These are the facts. It's a true story that happened many years ago, but it only came to light about 12 or 13 years ago. And it caused a big discussion amongst the poskim and in the literature, in the Torah journals. And it's something which is, I think you'll find very, very interesting. These are the facts. There was a young man, a teenager, in a non-Jewish school, a non-Jewish kid, who unfortunately was being bullied. And he was being tormented on a daily basis. And there were a group of boys who were bullying him. And as part of the bullying, what they did is that one of the boys, he wasn't sure which one, would break into this boy's locker and they would steal his sandwich. And day in, day out, they would break into this young man's locker and they would steal his lunch. He had a packed lunch and he put it away in his locker and they would steal it. And obviously he was very troubled and it's a terrible thing. You know, if you ever come across in chinuch, if you ever come across a situation of bullying, it's horrific. So he came up with a very cunning plan. What did he do? He was a chemistry major. His subject was chemistry. So he went to the chemistry laboratory and he took some chemicals and he laced his sandwich with poison. And sure enough, it had an immediate effect because that afternoon he was in the chemistry lab, he was in the lesson, and all of a sudden one of the boys in the other table started retching, started holding his stomach. And I started retching, and he started rolling on the floor, and he was in terrible pain, writhing in agony. And suddenly this boy got up and said, "It was you! You're the one who stole it! I knew it was you!" And because remember, there was a group of boys bullying him. "So you're the one who stole it!" And to some extent, he was a considerate young man. Why? Because he pulled out of his pocket a little test tube. And this guy was writhing on the floor and he said, "Please help me, help me." He was in terrible pain. And the boy said, "But you've been bullying me, you've made my life a misery." So he says, "Help me, help me." He said, "You promise never to do it again." So he says, "Yes." So he takes out his test tube and he had prepared an antidote. Chemistry major. So he prepared some medicine that he could take that would take away the ill effects of the poison. So he says, "If I give it to you, you promise never to bully me again?" So he says, "Yes." So he gave it to him, and sure enough, he got better. And the way the post can bring down this shayla, it says, "Allah kechavoy," that he became the king of the school. He was a bit of a nerdy type of kid. And then after this incident, he became the superstar of the school, the cool kid of the school. Allah kechavoy. The question is, in halacha, how do we deal with this? Because there was a boy in the school who later made aliyah and he went to live in Eretz Yisrael and he attended the shiurim of Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, the famous Rabbi Zilberstein, the son-in-law of Bodem Chaim Chaim of Rabbi Yashiv. And he gives this shiur once a week and he gives a shiur on fascinating contemporary halachic shailas. And he asked this doctor, he became a doctor and he used to give shiur to doctors, Zilberstein. And this doctor went to Rabbi Zilberstein and said, "Look, when I was a kid in school, it was a non-Jewish school, non-Jewish kids, but this is what happened. If the facts would repeat themselves, is it mutter, is it osa? Is it okay for a person to lace his own sandwich to take some sort of preventative measure against this bully?" That was the shaila presented to Rabbi Zilberstein. Now, I'm just curious, before we start looking into it, just from a gut feeling, who here thinks that it's mutter, that it's okay for a person to lace his own sandwich in order to prevent himself being bullied?
It's against the law.
In English law? Is it?
I remember somebody put a massive battery connected to his car.
Right.
electrocuted.
Yeah, there's enormous amounts of case law in English law, in American law, in all legal systems about these things. It's a very, like I said, the ramifications of this shaila are huge. But what would you say? What, la halacha? Yeah, la halacha. Is it mutter? Is it also? Who thinks it's mutter? Mutter? So I can do what I want with my sandwich? Yeah? And who? Huh? Bomachteres, okay. Bomachteres. Bomachteres, you're describing a case where a person tunnels into your house and certain you're out to defend yourself. What?
No comparison to Bomachteres, you're allowed to attack because he's ready to attack you and
you take him. No, but the bullying is attacking you for the right.
Nah.
And also that you don't have to eat a sandwich. You don't have to go there to take a sandwich. It's not that you have a
Schlafen meistens. Number one, you're not allowed to keep a wild animal at home because it's a mazik for the rabbi.
Okay, it's
number, two, who's, number two, who says the sandwich is going to be eaten by the person who's killed? You need to pass it on, swap it, something else, something else.
Okay, all right. So who thinks the guy is not allowed to? That seems to be the consensus. Okay, all right. Okay. There are other cases, like you say, there are many cases. A case also that happened there in Yisrael, that there was a spate of thefts of gnevas in a certain apartment building. So you had an apartment building. Imagine the apartment buildings there at Yisrael, where you have a main entrance, and then you have, like, say, four apartments on either side, and this sort of hallway in the middle, the stairs going down, and this long drop in the middle. And these flats, they were regularly burgled. They couldn't figure out how the thief was getting in. And then it dawned on them, what happened was, this thief would jump in from the roof. You know, sometimes there at Yisrael, they have built on hills, and therefore they can come from one access. And the kids, he came onto the roof, and he basically jumped down onto the washing line, which was across the top, in the top level of the apartment block. And he would land on these wires, these washing lines, and then he would sort of bounce onto the side, and then he would access into the building because the front door was locked, but the inside, they weren't always locked. So what happened was, one of the owners went to the washing line, he weakened the lines, he undid them, they were still there, but very weak. And all of a sudden, a few days later, 3-4 in the morning, they heard this massive scream that this poor burglar had jumped in, had gone to the washing line, but instead of bouncing off onto the side this time, he went straight down several flights and he was on the floor at the bottom. He wasn't dead, but he wasn't far off. And the shaila is, was it allowed? Are you allowed to take these preventative measures to protect yourself or your property? That's really the shaila. Sorry, say that again? Reasonable force. Are you a lawyer? Okay, good. Okay. Okay, but the shaila is the common denominator is this: am I allowed to do what I want with my own property, or not? Yes, that's the question.
It's different. Here's your property, here's yourself.
Why? The one's my washing line and one is my sandwich. What difference?
No, the bullying is something. Right?
Yeah, okay.
The bullying is something which is other person. Here is just, it is your property.
You're saying there's a difference between physical damage and emotional damage?
No, it's not physical and emotional. It's emotional, even physical and emotional for the person. And this is its property, which is a secondary.
Okay. Is there a chilek?
There is another difference.
Yeah.
In the case of the sandwich, he didn't want him to steal the sandwich.
Why?
He never wanted. He always wanted the sandwich for himself. Eventually, he got fed up and he laced it with poison.
And at that point, did he want it stolen?
Perhaps yes, he did. But the washing man, he lekatchila did it as bait. He wanted.
I think he lekatchila did the sandwich as bait as well at that point.
The sandwich evolved out of never wanting to have a sandwich.
All right, Bekitzer, okay. Bekitzer, good, okay. It's as you can see, it's a heated topic, and there's you'll be pleased to know that it's a maskon, it's a big machloek saposkim. I'll tell you why. Because this fellow came to Reb Zilberstein, and Reb Zilberstein, he asked him, is it okay to lace the sandwich? And Reb Zilberstein, famous Reb Yitzchak Zilberstein, said, not only is it mutter to lace the sandwich, it's a mitzvah to lace the sandwich. As he said, Haliteu l'rosha v'yomus, which basically means, let the wicked person hang and die. If he wants to steal a sandwich, he wants to bully, that's his problem. Haliteu l'rosha v'yomus. It's an expression used, the Makar is with Neta Ravoy. Neta Ravoy is a case in Hichas Zeroim, that a person who has a field in Eretz Yisrael, the first 3 years of the fruits of the tree he can't eat, it's Erla. The fourth year it's Netei Revoi, which means he can eat it, but there are certain restrictions. He's got to eat it in Yerushalayim, etc. What if there is a ganav coming to his field and he's stealing his crop? Should he make the burglar aware that the crop is actually Arla, Netei Revoi, Trumas, Maisrus, or because he wants to minimize the person's Avera? Okay, the guy's a thief and he's stealing, but at least, you know, steal the stuff which is kosher. So the Gemara says, Haliteu l'rosh v'yomis. You don't have to do it. Haliteu l'rosh v'yomis means let the thief hang and die. Okay? So, Zilberstein says, Muta. Not only is it Muta, it's a mitzvah to do it. Fine. Now, this. Okay, so. That's. And this psak was publicized in a journal written, it's popular in Bnei Brak, called Pa'amone Zahov. And the following edition, after this psak was publicized, contained only material on this topic and a rebuttal of Zilberstein's psak. And five or six very chashuv rashivas and rabbonim argued, and they said, "How can it be?" So let me tell you one of the criticisms of Rav Zilberstein's psak. One of the criticisms. Let me give you a moshul, a story, and we'll see exactly how this could happen, and then we'll see the makor inside. Imagine you work in a fruit store, right? So you got to be at your shop at 8 o'clock in the morning. So let's say it's Monday morning, it's the beginning of the week. So you go to the marketplace very early on Monday morning. You've got to be there at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning to buy your goods. And you get up 2 o'clock in the morning, you go to the market stall, and you travel, you buy lots and lots of material. And then you come back to your home, and it's 7 o'clock in the morning. You come back to Edgware, and you realize that your shop doesn't open until 8 o'clock. Perfect, you'll come daven shacharis at 7. So you come to the shibul, you daven 7 o'clock shacharis. But what are you going to do with all your... You've got trays and crates of tomatoes. What are you going to do with it? So you've got a good idea. You go... You want to leave it in the street. If you leave it in the street, it won't be there 8 o'clock. Okay? So you go into... You walk into a residential road, and you go into the someone's front yard, and there's a gate. You think, perfect. You open the gate, you take in, you wheel in your crates of tomatoes, you leave them there, and then you go daven shacharis. It's not your house, it's someone else's house, but at least they're off the street, and you'll leave them there, and you go daven shacharis. Good. You come back after shacharis, it's 10 to 8, and you go into this person's front yard, and a terrible sight meets you. You had 10 crates of tomatoes, there are now 3 crates left, the rest have been eaten. They're eaten, half eaten, and you see next to it a dog. And he is dead, because he's dead by overeating tomatoes. Right? He's overeating tomatoes. Your tomatoes. And then an even worse sight meets you. What is that worse sight? There is a lady, the owner of the house, the owner of the dog, who is running towards you with a rolling pin, saying, "You've killed my dog!" Ma dinoy. What is the halacha? So this is a Mishnah in Baba Kama. Yeah, let's take a look at number 3. Let's take a look at this Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Baba Kama. It says the Mishnah in Baba Kama, Hichnis peiros of lechotze balabais. If a person brought his fruit into the chotze of the balabais, shelo birshus, he did it without permission. So that's our example. A person brought his fruit into someone else's rishus without any permission. V'achlosen behemse shel balabais, and the owner of this, courtyard. Ate them. The animal of the owner of this courtyard ate them. The imhuskos of va'ochlos and behemsa shabalabais is potter. So if the animal ate them, his potter, he's not liable to pay for the fruit. The imhuska bohen, but if that person was damaged, if the animal was damaged by them, balapeiros is chayev. So the Mishnah is paskening. The Mishnah says that me, the Bal HaPeiros, the owner of the fruit, I am responsible for the injury, the damage to this animal. The Bal HaPeiros is chayev. However, says the Gemara, a very, very important qualification. Next line, this is the Gemara now. Omer Rav, says Rav, Leishonu ele shehuch lekebohen. When is the Bal HaPeiros chayev? When is the owner of the fruit chayev? Only when... The animal slipped on the fruit and then injured himself. In other words, there was direct damage to the animal from my fruit. But if the animal ate the fruit, potter, then I'm exempt, I'm potter from liability. My timer, why? Because that dog shouldn't have eaten. Who was he to eat my fruit? Now, really, this is an application of the famous principle in Nezikin called groma. Groma means you're only chayev for direct damage. You're not chayev for indirect damage. So in other words, if I leave my fruit there, and I directly damage this animal because he slips on this fruit and then he injures himself or dies, or if I were to shoot the animal or hit the animal, so then I'm chayev. But if I leave fruit there and the animal chooses to eat them, then he shouldn't have eaten them, therefore I'm potter. Okay? So, the Gemara, however, qualifies it further and says a very important ruling. And you'll see this ruling is going to be a kasha on Reb Zilberstein. And you're going to have to explain to me why this is a kasha. The Gemara says that true, if the animal eats my fruit, then I am potter. But says the Gemara, it's only potter midine odom, v'chayev bidine shemayim, which means that if this lady were to take me to court, she'd take me to Beis Din, and she'd say, you killed my dog, I want to be compensated. So the halacha is, says the Mishnah, that I'm potter. Why? Because the potter, the damage was done by eating it. Says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, I'm potter. But true, she would lose in Beis Din, and therefore, when I go to Beis Din, I'm exempt, I'm potter, I don't have to pay anything for it. But the Gemara says, v'chayev b'dinei shamayim, which means after 120 years, there is a heavenly liability. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, you caused damage to this dog. And therefore, true, midinei odom your potter, but midinei shamayim your chayev.
That's what's all
groma. There's a general groma for nezikin is potter.
No, but
that's a good question. From here, with seems so, but I don't know. I'd have to think about that and look into it more. Not sure. So the shaila is this. The shaila is this. This seems to be a strong kasha on Reb Zilberstein. Who can enunciate the kasha? What's the kasha? Why is this a kasha on the Reb Zilberstein's psak? Because again, Reb Zilberstein paskened, he said that the person who lays the sandwich, not only is it mutter to lay the sandwich, a mitzvah. So what's the kasha? Yeah, bidyuk. How can it be mutter? We see from this case, the first Gemara in Baba Kama, that there's a chiyuv b'dei shemayim. Yet you caused damage to this person. True, you're potter because it was indirect, but there's a chiyuv b'dei shemayim. There's a heavenly liability. You're going to be chayav. Yeah, so how can Reb Zilberstein pass on that? Not only is it mutter, but it's a mitzvah to do it. One second. We'll come back to you in a second. Yeah.
A mitzvah to kill a dog, a person that don't like them. The mitzvah for your dog, but he got a mitzvah that overrides the
mitzvah. What's the mitzvah?
The mitzvah is to rid the world of the shoya. The mitzvah overrides the deal you learn in the Gemara. If you didn't have the mitzvah, Tucker, you'd have a problem.
We're talking about the case of the schoolboy. It was a Goyish school.
Okay, but the question is, if it came to a Jewish school, never, this thing would never happen, of course. But let's say it would happen.
This is a big difference.
So what's the chiluk? What's the chiluk?
In the other person's property, put it in her property, so you have already something. Here, if you put it against all
matter,
it's
much more. Very good, very good. There are two fundamental differences. So again, many people criticize the Psak Reb Zilberstein, and they said, how on earth can you say it's mutter for this boy to lace his sandwich? It's a mitzvah to lace his sandwich. Of course it's also. It's a mefurish gemara in Baba Kama. There's a chiyuv b'dei shemayim. How can you say it's mutter? How can you say it's a mitzvah? So Reb Zilberstein said, there's two fundamental differences. The first fundamental difference is this. Did that animal, Olav HaShalom, that dog, did he have a right to be in that garden? Yeah. So he had a right to be in that garden. Did the bully have a right to be in that guy's locker? No. So how can you compare the two cases? That's one posha to chiluk. Okay? The second chiluk is this. An animal is not a bar das. He's not an intelligent being. He may have certain seichel. but he follows his instincts, and therefore he's going to eat this stuff. He's going to eat the fruit, and therefore, okay, because of a technical halachic reason, he's potter because of groma. There, but there is the lechiyu b'dei shemayim. But this burden, this bully, he's a bardas. He's an intelligent human being who went and made the concerted decision to bully this person, to break into his locker, and to steal the guy's sandwich. So don't tell me there's a chiyuv b'dei shemayim over there. So that, for that reason, Reb Zilberstein rebutted that criticism by saying you can't compare the two cases. Number one, the animal had a right to be there, this guy had no right to be there. And number two, the human beings. The Baradas is an intelligent human being who had no right to, who can exercise his bechira, not to steal the sandwich. Okay. So they asked Reb Zilberstein, you can imagine it's a big share, so we'll just mention one or two other points. But they asked Reb Zilberstein another point, a very interesting point. They said, okay, fine. Maybe there's a mitzvah to do it. Maybe I understand his self-defense. But don't you have to anticipate the consequences of your actions? Your actions have caused injury to this person. Maybe he was put in men hospital. For the person can then say, what happened to this bully? But maybe he was injured, and maybe he just got up and got better. But maybe he had medical expenses. Maybe he was out of work for a few weeks. Maybe there were long-term effects. Who knows? So don't you have to anticipate the consequences of your actions? Says Reb Zilberstein, he brings a very beautiful raya from a Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma is quite a famous Gemara, but it's brought for lots of different sources for different things. But he brings this Gemara as a makar to say, no, you don't have to anticipate the consequences of your actions, that maybe it would cause a tremendous injury to this person. Why? What's the Gemara? So the Gemara says the following. Let's take a look at paragraph 5c. It's a Gemara in Yuma, Pei Gimel and Beis. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi have a ka'ozli b'urcha. They were once going for a walk, they were on a journey. Rabbi Meir had the dayak b'shmot. Rabbi Meir had this ability that when he heard a person's name, he could infer the characteristics of that person just from hearing his name. He was dayak b'shmot. So Omer Luhu, sorry, kimatu lahu duchta. When they got to the certain place, bo shpiza, they needed a lodging, they needed a place to stay. Yavule, so they gave him, they found a place to stay. Omulai, so he went to this inn, and he said to the balabais, the owner of the place, he said, "Mashmech," he goes, "What's your name?" So Omulahu, "My name, the balabos, is Kidur." That was his name. Omer, so Reb Meir said to himself, "Shma mina odim roshahu." I can infer from here, this guy is a wicked person. This balabais, this owner of the inn, is a wicked man. Kidur. Why? Shneimar, it says in the pasuk, it's coming up soon. Hazinu, Kidur tahapuches hema. Which means Klal Yisrael are adar, which are tahapuches, which are like they're volatile. They change. They're very change. They change all the time. So therefore, ki dar tahapuches ki dar. There's something fishy going on here. So I'm not going to give him my purse. You see, in those days when you'd go to the inn, there was no credit cards. You'd have to give your money, your purse, to the balabais, the owner of the inn. That was the minute. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi gave their money to the owner of the house, but Rabbi Meir didn't want to because he felt this guy was a Rosha. Why? Because his name was a bit funny, Kidur. Fine. So what happened? Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi ashlim lekisai, Rabbi Meir lo ashlim lekisai. He didn't give his purse, the others did. Lemochar, the next day, when they were wanting to travel on and to check out, Omrulai, they said to him, to the innkeeper, Havlon kison, give us our purses back. Omelahu, so the innkeeper Kidur said to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi, "Lahoyd v'ramayilam, what purses? What are you talking about?" Omelahu, Rabbi Meir said, "Amaylo deyakta b'shmo, you should have been medayak in his name. His name is Kidur, which smells a little bit funny." Omrulei, Amayaslo Omrulon, one Mara, why didn't you tell us? You should have told us. Omelahu, Eimad Omriana Chashosha, Achzuki mi Omru, I was choishesh. I didn't know for certain. So I couldn't tell you. You're a meichesh mi boy. Okay. Now, this is the key is the next bit. Moshchu v'alu lechanusa. They went to his house. They wanted to get the money back because they wanted to move on. And Rabbi Yehud and Rabbi Yosi wanted to get their purses back. So they came up with a very cunning plan. What was their plan? Moshchu v'alu lechanusa. They went to his shop. Chozu talfechei asfame. And they saw that he had lentils around his mouth. Then when he finished his breakfast, he didn't wash his face. Oslu v'yave simon l'dveseyu. So they went to his wife, and they said, Mrs. Kedar, your husband said we should get the purses back. So she said, really? So he said, they said, yeah, and he's given us a code. What's the code? The code is that you served him lentils for breakfast. Ah, taka, yeah, lentils for breakfast. She went inside. And she took their purses and she gave them the purses. Ozliu, he went home later in the day and said, how's your day, darling? Fine. Anything interesting happened? Yeah, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda came and I gave him the purses. What? Yeah, because you gave me the code and I gave them. Says the Gemara of a Kotleli, to say he wasn't very happy and he killed his wife. Fine, that's what the Gemara says. Drastic action, interesting story. That's what the Gemara in Yuma says. By the way, the Gemara, I haven't quoted it here, but the Gemara continues and says we learn something very interesting from that. The Gemara says, we conclude from this story, from here we see you've always got to wash Mayim Achreinim. Why? Because after when you see people when they wash Mayim Achreinim, they wash their hands, they rub it on their and they rub it and they can rub away any lentils or anything else, any remnants, so you'd be safe from this. You see from this Gemara, always wash Mayim Achreinim. Now, says Reb Zilberstein, didn't Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda anticipate that if they were to get their money back through this very clever means, that perhaps the husband would come back, would be so infuriated, we're talking about a ganav, a lowlife, maybe he'd do something drastic and do something terrible to his wife? And that's in fact what happened. Says Rabbi Zilberstein, you see from here, you do not have to be concerned about untoward consequences of your actions. So therefore, you want to lace your sandwich? If he goes and steals it and rides in agony, and that's his problem. I do not have to worry. That is not my problem. Why? It's my sandwich. If I want to put tuna on it, I want to put egg on it, I want to put arsenic on it, no problem. It's my property. I can do what I want. That's what Reb Zilberstein said. Now, we have to finish, but just one more interesting ride. There's lots to discuss, but there isn't too much time. There's another very interesting case that Reb Zilberstein brings. It's a Gemara, it's a Derech Eretz Rabba. The Derech Eretz Rabba, Chazal say, a story about Reb Yeshua. One time Reb Yeshua had a guest, and he brought this guest into his house, and he gave him food to eat, he gave him supper, and then he went and he retired for the night, and he was sleeping in the attic. So he led the guest, he shows him his quarters, and he put him in the attic. Fine. Reb Yeshua was choshish, this guy wasn't... You don't know who he didn't know who he was. He wanted to be a little bit. He was a little bit doubtful that, as to his integrity, and therefore, when Rabbi Yeshua came down, he took away the ladder, because if this guy is going to steal everything in my house, that way he can't get out. He's stuck in the loft now, and if he's a good man, he'll sleep there the night. And in the morning, I'll put the ladder back. Sure enough, this guy was a thief, and he did a sweep of the attic, put it into his loot bag. And then as he came down the stairs, there were no stairs there, and he landed on the floor, and it says he broke his neck. And Rabbi Yeshua standing over him and said, see, you should be more, why are you stealing from me, etc., etc. So Rabbi Zilberstein says, again, yeah, Lecher, it seems to be a support for him. You're allowed to take this sort of action in order to prevent damage to your property. Yeah? Is it a good raya, or is there a chilek? Can you prove from this Derech Eretz Rabbo that you're allowed to? This guy is allowed to lace the sandwich with poison.
It seems in this case there's no precedent.
What do you mean?
It's going on a foregone conclusion that a preempting situation.
Yeah, but the fact that it's brought to Derech Eretz Rabbo says that this can be a precedent. We run out of time, Master, but let me just tell you that this is a big discussion as well. The chiluk they'd say is this. Is it reasonable, you mentioned reason before, that's a very important word. Is it reasonable for a person, as he's stepping off an attic, to check there's a ladder there? So therefore, he should have checked, and therefore he says, oh boy, there's no ladder there, Rabbi Yeshua was choshesh, I better pull the stuff back, and I'm not going anywhere tonight. He should have checked. Mashenkin, the guy who's stealing the sandwich, should he have anticipated that maybe his sandwich is laced? Is that reasonable? Is it paranoid? I don't know. And the truth is, the post can discuss that. Reb Zilberstein says, yes, you should have checked. He's a chemistry major, the other student. So, again, the jury's out. In short, Rabbi Yisai, just to summarize what we've discussed, this is a true story that happened some years ago. It came to the attention of the Torah world about 12 or 13 years ago. And the case of the poison sandwich, where a person is being bullied and laces his sandwich and takes preventative measure, and sure enough he finds the bully. Madinai, Reb Zilberstein and his brother Reb Chaim Kanievsky, both Reb Chaim seemed to concur with Reb Zilberstein, and who said that it was muta, and not only did Reb Zilberstein say muta, mitzvah halitei l'rosh v'yomus. But again, there's a big discussion. It's a massive topic. It's a big discussion whether or not this is considered okay. And they asked kashas on him, the kasha we saw from Baba Kama, but Reb Zilberstein defended himself. They're different chilukim. Do you have to worry about the untoward results? Said Reb Zilberstein, no. What about the case in Derech Eretz Rabbah? Is it good raya? Yesh Lodin. But in short, we're going to have to wait until Moshiach comes to decide what actually happens in this case. That Mitzvah Hashem, he should come in Heira of Yomeinu. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
a
sandwich,
wait
to anyone.
Yeah.
Thank you.